Oh, that's right. As promised, I have Congressman Trey Gowdy on the air with us.
Have you missed?
Oh, that's right. I was supposed to have a little bit more info on that one, but hey, you know what? I do have Congressman Trey Gowdy, and we sure have missed having him on the air. How you doing today, Congressman Trey Gowdy?
I'm doing fantastic, Ann. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Now, better now that we have you on the line with us here today. How goes everything up there in Washington, D.C.?
Well, praise the Lord, I'm in South Carolina, it's wonderful.
It's a good
got to
day
visit
in
some
South
schools
Carolina.
Yesterday, and going tonight to speak at Clemson with my friend and colleague Timmy Scott. So, South Carolina's fantastic. Washington, not quite so much.
Absolutely. Well, listen, since Eric Holder is resigning, I just wondered if what was the possibility of President Obama nominating you for Attorney General.
You're probably better off buying a lottery ticket. I don't know who he's going to pick, but I know who he's not going to pick. That's a really important job, and I guess if I were to list jobs that would kind of be my dream job, it wouldn't be quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I like the law, but we're going to have to figure out how to win national elections before we get a say-so in who the Attorney General is going to be.
I see. Any idea who you think he's thinking about?
You know what? I think the list is shortening because he's only got two more years. He's not terribly popular. It looks like the Republicans may take the Senate, so it's going to be a tough confirmation fight. My guess is he's going to go with kind of a career Department of Justice person to avoid a protracted confirmation fight. The names he wants, he loves to be the first. The first this, the first that. I don't see that happening. He's going to go with a career person and just kind of try to ride out the last 2 years.
Right. Well, as far as if they do take the Senate, if the Republicans do take the Senate, do you think there will be more investigations coming in on the administration? I mean, we've had so many things, and it was such a struggle just to get this special prosecutor for Benghazi. Do you think that would make a difference?
I think it would make a huge difference for this reason. Our founding fathers gave the Senate different tools than they gave the House. The House has appropriations, but the Senate has judicial confirmations, they have executive branch confirmations, they have treaties, all of which go through the Senate. So my guess is if we do take the Senate, our leverage, our ability to send subpoenas, the administration's heretofore reluctance to cooperate with investigations by giving us access to witnesses and documents, all of that would end. So I hope what you would see, and again, I'm a backbencher, so nobody really cares what I think, but I think it'd be really good to see bicameral investigations, the House and the Senate Republicans working together. But these have to be serious investigations. I mean, the American public can see through a charade.
Sure.
They want serious, whether it's IRS, Benghazi, the Veterans Administration, they want serious investigations. So I'd love to see the House and the Senate do that together.
Well, I think that would become a bigger possibility since they would have the control, if they end up with the control of the Senate.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, one of the things that I was thinking about last night, I think that y'all had sent over something like 380 bills that Harry Reid has not put forth on the floor of the Senate. As you think about all the bills that y'all have sent over there, which ones would be like on your top five that should be pulled out and put forth to the Senate floor?
Well, Keystone Pipeline it immediately leaps to mind because it's both an energy and a jobs bill. We have passed, and again, it's not the sexiest thing in the world, but regulatory relief, whether it's the RAINS Act, whether it's reining in the EPA, every plant visit I go to, the conversation is dominated by government regulation and what it's doing to stifle job creation. So I would say Keystone Pipeline, the RAINS Act, we have got to do something about border security, period.
Absolutely.
Not in exchange for more visas. I mean, honestly, should we be sitting here having to horse trade over having a secure border? So border security, Range Act, Keystone Pipeline, things within the realm of education. Peter Welch and I have a bill where we direct the government to look at the regulatory scheme within the field of higher education and see which ones are contributing to higher tuition. I have a child in college, and I have another who claims she's going next year. So I'm you know, right in the middle of seeing, and even though, you know, our in-state schools are great and they're relatively affordable compared to some other schools, you know, and my son looked at schools that cost $52,000 a year.
A year, unbelievable.
So, I mean, that's you know, at the end of 4 years, that's a really, really nice house in a really, really nice neighborhood.
Exactly.
So, you know, and Peter Welch is a Democrat from Vermont, so all of these bills don't have to be hyper-partisan, but I'm really interested in border security. I'm really interested in Keystone Pipeline from the energy and the job standpoint. I'm interested in regulatory relief. I'm interested in something that signals to our young people that college, if you choose to go to college, is going to be more affordable. And, you know, I would start with those. I would think all of those poll, you know, in the 60 to 70% among our fellow citizens.
Sure. Well, that was the thing I was thinking about because, you know, of course, you can't just send everything through there. You've got to push on some. Now, what about immigration? You know, I understand that the Senate did the bill. It came to the House, and it's kind of been stalled in committee.
Yeah, and it's going to remain stalled. And again, I try not to be terribly critical of Senate Republicans on the immigration because they're in the minority.
Right.
And when you're in the minority, the product is not going to look like it would look if you were in the majority. The House passed four bills out of judiciary related to immigration. But when you have a president who is constantly saying, do exactly what I want, or I'm going to grant administrative, executive branch amnesty, where is the incentive for us to pass anything?
Sure.
If he doesn't like everything we pass, he's just going to get out his pen and his phone. I can tell you this. If he goes through with what he is talking about going through with, and notice he postponed it till after the election because it's that unpopular.
Right.
But if he goes through with this executive branch amnesty, you can kiss immigration reform goodbye.
Well, I think that is just frightening, isn't it?
Well, it's frightening from a constitutional perspective. I see my friend Paul Ryan, who would be very quick to tell you is not a lawyer, but he's really smart, and he said yesterday it's just blatantly unconstitutional. The question is, do our fellow citizens care enough about the process of doing it the right way, or are they just concerned with the result? I would like to think that all of our fellow citizens want it to be done the right way. And border security, and let me also add internal security. I don't know whether this report is true or not. I'm a little skeptical of things I read these days. But there were a couple of police officers that were gunned down in cold-blooded murder. And the allegation, at least in the media reports, is that the suspect had been deported twice and regained entry into our country. So how in the world are you going to talk to us about granting any kind of legal status if you have a porous border that enables people to come back into this country and kill police officers? Don't even try with me. Don't even start that conversation until you have border security.
Now, what about all these children that have come into the United States, Trey?
Children are a tougher, it's tougher from a moral standpoint and it's tougher from a legal standpoint because the children themselves, you know, you don't prosecute kids.
Correct.
But
they're a tremendous drain on our society that's already struggling.
Absolutely. And I blame this notion that we have been perpetuating for the past 3 or 4 years that amnesty is on the horizon. I mean, look, nature abhors a vacuum. And if you are in Honduras or Guatemala or wherever, and you aspire to be in the United States, and you think, if I can just get there by any means necessary, if I can get there, King Obama is going to grant me amnesty, well, then yes, you're going to have an influx of people who are willing to break the law. If, on the other hand, you say, look, we're a compassionate nation, we're a humane nation, but we're a nation of laws, you're not going to gain access to our country. Don't bother with the trip. You're not coming in.
Right.
That sends a different message. So does, by the way, picking up the phone and calling the leaders in Honduras and Guatemala and wherever else is allowing this message to be perpetuated, and telling them your foreign aid depends upon how effectively you help us enforce our immigration laws. And by the way, you need to start telling your citizens it's not worth the risk. Do not jeopardize your child's life by traveling to our border because you're not coming in.
I agree absolutely with you, Trey. Now, one of the other things, of course, Benghazi, that's been your... I understand that's why you had to go undercover here, because you were so covered up with all this Benghazi stuff. What's happening that you can tell us? I happened to talk to one of the guys that wrote the book, 13 Hours.
Yes, ma'am.
And at the time, they had not talked to you. I don't know what the plan is, but when they brought that story out, boy, that really changed the focus on what everybody was thinking.
Yeah, that's the part about this Benghazi committee that I have been the most pleased with, is if you do things the right way, look, whether it's Chris or whether it's Tig, whether it's Oz, or three of the authors,
right,
they have no desire to be part of a political circus, none. So the fact that they felt more comfortable going on television than coming to a congressional committee is a really serious indictment on Congress. So my job and what I have been doing, and yes, I've talked to Chris, I've talked to Chris multiple times, is to convince them it's a serious investigation. And the result of convincing them of that is you find yourself being approached by additional witnesses that have never been talked to. They've never talked to any committee of Congress. They don't like Republicans. They don't like Democrats. They don't trust Congress. But if you can convince them this is a serious investigation, I just traveled Sunday and Monday with Jason Chaffetz to interview another witness who's never talked to any member of Congress or any committee. But this witness finally decided, you know what, I think these guys are serious about doing it the right way. I'm going to tell them what I know. I'm meeting with another witness next week that's never come forward before.
Wow.
So it's not, you know, I'm not going on television, I'm not going on blog sites, I'm not writing books, I'm finding witnesses. And some of it is quiet, and you know, human nature is such that when something's out of sight, you have a tendency to think that maybe nothing's being done on it. That is the opposite of the case here. We are finding witnesses that have never been talked to before, which is exactly, in my judgment, what our job is.
Now, well, that is very, very good to know, and I knew that you weren't not doing nothing. I knew you'd be out there trying to find out the absolute bottom line. As a prosecutor, I know that that's your job. But, Trey, when are they looking to bring this information? What are you headed towards with your committee?
Well, I have an investigative plan that takes us through really the end of 2015. And I'm going to share it with my Republican colleagues in November. I came up with it over our October recess. So I'll be able to tell my colleagues in June of 2015, these are the hearings we're having, and these are the witnesses.
Wow.
And I'll be able to do that throughout the rest of 2015. The Democrats may sign off on the investigative plan and say, you know, look, we don't like it. We don't think this committee ought to even exist, but, you know, we see where you're going. That's enough. They may take that approach. They may continue to take the approach that there's no need for this committee. Although in the last public hearing we had, I think the world saw there is a need for the committee. But I like plans, and I like knowing what I'm going to do. What I'm not going to do, Ann, is react to whatever is on the 9 o'clock news. If you know, Panetta came forward. Panetta is somebody, of course, we're going to talk to.
Sure.
But I'm going to be mindful of the fact that he's on a book tour right now.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to be mindful of the fact that I don't have all the documents in front of me that I need to be able to question Mr. Panetta. So he's going to be questioned, but he's going to be questioned not to drive up ratings or to answer critics who want to know why didn't you immediately bring in Leon Panetta. I'm going to question him when I have all the documents and I can ask all of my questions, because I'm assuming that he's only going to give me one crack at it.
Yeah.
And that's Susan Rice. I can tell you she's coming. I can probably tell you what month we're going to have her before our committee. But doing all of it, you know, a month before a midterm election just feeds the narrative that it's all a political exercise, and it's not. So I'm not going to do anything to feed that narrative.
I understand, and I appreciate the fact that you are going about this the right way, and I know in the end we'll know the whole story.
We're going to know, we will know as much of the story as I can convince witnesses to tell us. And telling me privately is great. It's better if I can get them to the point where they feel comfortable telling the full committee, or better yet, in a public hearing. But it's, I tell you, Anna, and I had the same issue when I was in a former job, convincing people to put their careers and their names on the line to cooperate with an investigation. You've got to convince them it's a serious investigation.
Absolutely. And that the truth is more, and the truth is more powerful and needs to be said over personal.
Exactly. And that it's not a political exercise. I really, one thing I'm finding out, even the book authors, I can tell you of all the times I've talked to Chris, I have no idea what his politics are.
Right.
We've never discussed them. I have zero idea what his politics are. I just know he's a brave American who actually was in Benghazi on a rooftop the night of both of the attacks. So he's somebody that my fellow citizens need to hear from. And frankly, my colleagues in Congress need to hear from. And if they've got some questions about things he wrote in this book, they can ask him eyeball to eyeball and let him answer them.
Sure. And they sure have been through hell, haven't they, by putting it out there and going on the book tour and everything.
They have, but I'll tell you this, between former Special Forces guys that have fought and defended our country versus members of Congress, I can tell you our fellow citizens are going to side with the soldiers every time. So I think, you know, have they been criticized? Maybe, but they're winning in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, well, no question, but I just think, you know, you just think about, you know, saying what you know to be true, and then people literally calling you liars, it's kind of tough to take day in and day out.
And what I need to do is give the people who think they know more about what happened that night than the guys that were there, you think you know what happened? I'm going to give you a chance to sit in front of these five book authors, if all five will come.
Right.
If not, the three that are willing to come, you say what you want to their face. Don't say it on MSNBC, say it to them.
Absolutely. Now, Trey, one of the things that I also was thinking about, and did you have anything else you wanted to talk about Benghazi?
No, just telling people it's going to be done the right way, even if that means they don't hear about it for a while.
Well, I can appreciate that. I'm just glad we finally got you on the air with us here today. But one of the things that I was thinking about, that if the Senate is taken by the Republicans, do you think President Obama will start pardoning people like Lois Lerner and this type of thing, so that they won't have any recriminations from the Senate?
I don't think so. I mean, Lois Lerner is not going to talk, no matter whether we have 100 U.S. senators on the Republican side.
Okay.
We can't put her in jail.
Right.
The only people who can do that are in the executive branch. That's the Attorney General, that's the U.S. Attorney in the District of Columbia. So will she be the subject of additional investigations? I'm sure she will. But what she doesn't want, she don't want to go to jail. And there's not a single member of Congress that can put her in jail. So if you really want to do oversight the way that most of your listeners want it to be done, full, total, complete accountability, then my party better figure out how to win the executive branch, because that's who investigates criminal allegations,
right,
and that's who puts people in jail. So when folks stop me at Costco in the grocery store and they say, you know, I wish you would put, you know, Lois Lerner in jail, I tell them that was my old job. that was when I was a member of the executive branch. I'm not in that branch anymore.
I understand. So there, you don't think that he would all of a sudden start pardoning people so that there'd be no investigation? You think that's two separate things?
I think that the people have seen through his picking of a lawyer to be the Ebola czar, so
yeah.
I think they would see through pardoning people like Lois Lerner, and my guess is if you want a guaranteed way to remain a minority party for the next generation, then let President Obama start pardoning people like Lois Lerner.
Okay. All right. Point taken. Real quick, on the Ebola, should we be closing off anybody coming in? And what about this 21-day quarantine? I can't see it as that bad, and I also can't see that it would hurt people that want to go on humanitarian missions there. And one other thing, should our military be over there, Trey?
Yeah, I struggle with that. We had a hearing on that last Friday. We're asking our military to do things that, while I'm sure they're capable of doing, or certainly outside of their mission, I do agree with the notion that we need to stop Ebola where it manifests itself the most right now. I don't know that soldiers are the people who do that. Doctors do it. Nurses do it. Healthcare workers do it. And I'm not gonna commit the same sin that I accused Obama of committing. I'm a lawyer, just like Ron Klain. So I'd be among the last people that should be telling us how to unlock the mysteries of Ebola. But I am a lawyer, so I do understand liberty interests, and I understand the notion of consent. And you could argue that if you are a humanitarian aid worker and you travel to a country with Ebola outbreaks, that you have either implicitly or explicitly consented to be quarantined when you come back. Otherwise, you get into the liberty issue, particularly with American citizens, or frankly, exclusively with American citizens, about whether or not government has the power to deprive you of your liberty for 21 days without any process at all. So you've got separate analyses for American citizens versus non-Americans. You know, Good Latin and I wrote a letter about visa restrictions. That's a really good place to start. But when you're dealing with American citizens, I guess what I would say to them is, look, we want you to go help. We want you to. Just understand part of your service is we're going to have to quarantine you when you come back. Now, if you decide that you don't want to go, that's fine. We're not going to judge it. But don't go and then expose anyone to any level of risk.
Exactly.
When you come back. I think, you know, our administration, even though Ebola's been around for several decades and this latest outbreak has been around for close to a year, they were just totally caught off guard. And they changed their approach almost every hour on the hour. And people don't have confidence in this government, either party, frankly. So there are a lot of legal issues that I do feel comfortable talking about. The medical issues,
mm-hmm.
I was really critical of Ron Klain because he doesn't know the first thing about Ebola. So I'm certainly not going to act like I do either.
Well, I think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Now, my last point here is, although I didn't see this, I do understand that you are listed as number 1, 2, and 3. There was a, on public TV, you have the most positive public persona as far as a positive rating with Democrats versus Republicans. You would be number 1, 2, or 3 for vice president choice in 2016.
Of which country?
USA, Trey.
I am in love with South Carolina and looking for a job where I can spend more time here. You can do better than me. That's what I tell folks. I'll give you a long list of people. You can do better than me. And I think our country's been through a lot in the last 6 years. I'm certainly not going to put them through anything that includes me. You have to have self-awareness in life, and you have to know what you're good at and what you're not good at. I'm okay in a courtroom. I'm okay on legal issues. But there are a whole lot of things I'm not okay on. And, you know, we can do better. I appreciate whoever said that. I try to be I try to be fair, but in terms of my future politics, I would love to be the driver for Tim Scott. That's, I hope, my next job. I just want to drive him around the state. So if he'll have me do that, then I'll be content in politics.
Well, all right. The other thing I had to tell you about that committee meeting, though, one of the gals on the committee that was on the public TV said that should you be the vice president, that she wanted to make sure that somebody got a hold of your hair.
Well, she's not the only one who said that. I got it kind of short right now, so she's going to be limited on what she can do with it. I'm slowly working myself towards the Tim Scott Mick Mulvaney haircut, which you don't have any. So that's where I'm working my way toward.
All right. Well, listen, it's been way too long, I understand, but thanks so much for calling us this morning.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. You take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.